Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you this morning. Appreciate you being here. Just a minute, we'll be passing out a lesson this morning. Or some of you may be already know. Okay. We'll be passed out here in just a minute. And this morning we're going to talk on the line of more than conquerors. And I'm sure as I say that phrase, and you'll think of Romans chapter 8, so if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to Romans chapter 8 as those are being passed out, that will speed some things along. Let me take you back for just a few minutes to when you're a child. Can you remember back on the playground or maybe in the backyard when you were picking teams, when you were choosing sides? Maybe it was to play a game of Red Rover, or play a game of tag, or kickball, or baseball. You remember when you were picking sides, and as you were choosing teams, and how you wanted to be on the winning team. You remember how good it felt to be on the winning team? Everyone likes to be on the winning team, and no one wants to be on the losing team. And usually when we're picking sides, we try to choose the person to be on our team who we think will help us win. Well, that's why Cliff and I are Alabama fans. We like to be on the winning team from time to time. Hopefully this year that will be the winning team. But we're told in the Bible that if we're on God's side, we can not only be on the winning team. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, down verse 37, that in all these things we are more than conquerors. Yes, this morning we're going to look at the idea of being more than conquerors. See, in this world that we live in, there are simple games and even in serious games where we want to be on the winning team. And there is a race that we're involved in running, whether or not we realize it. We are in the and as we think about our souls and we think spiritually, it is important that we are. Don't feel like we are more than conquerors. Many times I feel like we walk around when we go through our trials, our struggles, maybe we even look at the Christian life that it's a list of 10 odds. Maybe we look at the Christian life. Let's take a look at those things here this morning. Why are we more than conquerors? Or let's look at some reasons why we are sure that we can be more than conquerors. First of all, we are more than conquerors because God is for us. God is for us. You know, when we're picking teams to play kickball or baseball or basketball, whatever the sport may be or whatever the game may be, we want the individual on our team who's going to carry the team, who's going to push us over the edge. But when God is on our side, when He is for us, no one can be against us. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, if we're on God's side, if God is for us, then we know that all things work together for good. That doesn't mean that everything goes good. But one thing that we're told and we're promised is that everything works together for good in the long run. That when God is on our side, yes, we may have trials. We've been promised that. We'll see that here in just a minute. All things work out for good. Notice verse 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yes, we find that God does what it takes to make sure that we are more than conquerors. That meant that he would even send his son to die on the cross for us. In other words, he's not afraid to do whatever it takes, to pay whatever the cost is to ensure our victory. Yes, God is. If God is for us, then who can be against us? The question goes back, is are we on God's side? Can we make sure that we're on the winning side? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Who is on God's side? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What we might be asking ourselves this morning is, do we fall in that category? Do we love God? That's a good question to ask. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 14, a little bit later in that same as to what it means to be called or who are the called. But a lot of times, probably the best way for us to answer it is have we answered the call. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, we're told, so the last will be first. Thank you. verse 38 and verse 39, Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, once again, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing or no one can separate us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, we're told, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." Well, if God created everything and He made everything, how can anything that He created separate us from the love of God? God can control everything that He created. So when He says nothing will separate us from the love of God, we can have the assurance that because He created, because He said it, that will happen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, we're told, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to Him." Yes, we're told that angels and authorities and powers have all been made subject to Jesus Christ. So the key is that if we're on Christ's side, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. At the end of verse 39 in Romans chapter 8 there, we said, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God." And where is that love found? How do we access that love? It's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the key of this is to be in Christ, like we said. The key is to be in Christ. You know, all throughout the Bible, if you just go through a concordance or you have a computer program that can do a search of the Bible, you type in Christ. There are all kinds of verses in the Bible that talk about blessings that are in Christ. I mentioned just six of those here. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, we're told that redemption is in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we can be a redeemed person in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, many times we remember the first of that verse, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Absolutely. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the gift of eternal life is in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. At the first of Romans chapter 8, the first verse there, we're told, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, there is sanctification in Christ to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. All these blessings in Christ. We find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, verse that even kids learn very young, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." So we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. All those blessings in Christ Jesus. And salvation, finally, is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may attain to salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Do you see how we can be more than conquerors? We have redemption. We have the gift of eternal life. We have no condemnation. We have sanctification, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. All those things in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 8 can say, that neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of those things, we can be assured that we're more than conquerors, because we have all these things in Christ Jesus. Yes, if we want down the winning team, the winning sign, if we want all these things, you look at every other little game or any other thing in life, nothing is more important than these things. No other team can win to God that can give us eternal life. No other team can give us forgiveness of sins. No other team can give us salvation. Because we are in Christ, we are more than conquerors. And thirdly, we are more than conquerors because the things that are meant to defeat us end up making us stronger. The things that are meant to defeat us end up making us stronger. Now that's one of the unique things about being in Christ. If you think about any other organization, if you think about anything else anybody has created, things that are meant to break you down will break you down. Or shut that business down. Or make that team fail. Whatever the case may be. But in Christ, the things that are meant to defeat us only make us stronger. And that's repeated over and over and over. And because of that, we are more than conquerors. Look at verses 36 and 37 in Romans chapter 8. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yes, and if you were just to say this in worldly mindset, in worldly thinking, that wouldn't make sense. Why would we be killed all the day long? Why would we lay our lives for the slaughter? That just doesn't make sense. But look at verse 37. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Yes, the things that are meant to defeat us end up making us stronger. We must expect and even welcome those trials then. We must expect and welcome those trials because they make us stronger. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses actually 12 through 14, we see, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And so some strange thing happened to you. Isn't that strange thinking? To think that trial, we should welcome trials. We should welcome hardship. But Peter tells us in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Yes, through our trials, we are glorified, and through our trials, God is glorified. And when we are partaking in a trial for the cause of Christ, we are partaking in His sufferings, but because of that, we partake in His blessings. And that's why we must welcome our trials. In James chapter 1, you remember verses 2 and 3? We're told, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or as some translations say, produces endurance. Yes, the things are meant to break us down and beat us down end up making us stronger. In James chapter 1, a little bit later in verse 12, we're told, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Yes, we will be blessed when we endure that temptation. You know, there's a saying that I thought was worth putting down here. You don't drown by falling into water, but by staying there. You think about that long and make sense to you. You don't drown by just falling into the water, but by staying there. And our key is, yes, we're going to be faced with trials and struggles. But if we will come out of those trials, the struggles on God's side, then we will be stronger as a result of it. Now, I heard a story one time of a survivor of a shipwreck. And he was washed up on a small, uninhabited island, and he prayed feverishly for God to rescue him every day. As he scanned the horizon for help, but every day, none seemed to come. Exhausted, finally he got together some driftwood that he found on the island and built himself a little hut to protect him of the elements and to store what few possessions he could gather. But then one day, after he was scavenging for food, he came back to his hut to find it in flames and smoke rolling up the sky. The worst thing that happened, every single thing they had in this little hut of driftwood was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger and heat. Prayed to God and said, "God, how did you do this to me? Everything I have is lost." So early the next day, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island, and it had come to rescue him. And the man asked, "How did you know that I was here?" And of course, those men on the ship said, "Well, we saw your smoke signal." You know, it's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad, when things are tough. But that's why Romans 8:28 makes sense, even when in the world it doesn't make sense. That in Christ, we are more than conquerors. And even when we're going through pain and suffering, we shouldn't lose heart. Because God is at work. Even in our trials, He's at work in our lives. So remember, the next time your little hut's burning to the ground, it may just be that smoke signal that summons the grace of God. Yes, when we welcome our trials and struggles, they make us stronger. And as a result, our trials and struggles will all be worth it in the end. You look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. We're told, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Yes, what we're told to hear then is that our glory, heaven, will be worth more than these little struggles that we go through. No matter how big they may seem right now, heaven will be worth it all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, we're told that thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can be assured that we're not only on the winning team, but we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul, at the end of his life, he could write 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, but not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance." Yes, the question that we should ask ourselves then is, are we on God's side? We've seen this morning that those who are on God's side are more than conquerors. The question we have to ask us is, have we answered that call? Do we love God? Are we following His commandments? And are we in Christ? As the Bible tells us that we are baptized into Christ. That is how we get into Christ. So this morning, do you believe in the words of the Bible? Do you believe that you can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ? Have you repented from your sins? Have you decided to turn away from that losing team you've been on? Are you on the winning team? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed the name of Jesus Christ? Confessed him as the Son of God? Have you been buried with him in baptism for being in Christ Jesus? If you're not on the winning team this morning, get on the winning side. Let's all be together one day in heaven when He comes back. Maybe you are here this morning and you made that decision to be on the winning side, but for some reason you decided to switch over to the other team. Or maybe even this morning you're going through some of those trials and you need the help and support of those here in the congregation. Whatever the case is, if we can help you in any way, please come forward.